Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thuds, let's go. Hour three of the show, our last half hour with Lance Briggs here on the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. As we talk about the Bears and the Bears beating the Packers and five Pro Bowlers. If you're just jumping in your car and saying, wait, five Pro Bowlers? Yes. Mm-hmm. Five Pro Bowlers for the Bears. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, Kyle Fuller, Eddie Jackson, and Tariq Cohen were selected as Pro Bowlers for this team. The Bears also had seven alternates for this team, including Mitchell Trubisky. So there you go.
Do you think there was any other Bear that was deserving of a Pro Bowl this year?
I've been thinking about it since it came out, and I kind of felt like Roquan deserved it. But I get it. Like you said, it's one of those things of you probably, you know, people start to know your name.
Yeah.
And I think that had there been no Khalil Mack, then maybe people would be paying more attention.
Now let's talk comparative numbers too. You know what I mean? I think that Roquan's there's a jumbled group.
Competitive group
of linebackers that are playing well this year. And I want to see where he stacks up, because you might be right. You know, he's made enough plays this year to be considered or to be a Pro Bowler.
On the offensive side, if we go back a few weeks, I maybe would have said Taylor Gabriel, but
it's just a big drop off.
There's been a drop off for Gabriel and for Burton.
Burton is a guy who he would continue to be consistent. You know, Trubisky got out for a few weeks, but if he would continue to be consistent, I think he's a guy who should have been in there.
So those were the only things I was like, I guess I could make an argument for.
What about O-line?
Well, Cody Whitehair is one of the alternates.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Leno is actually one of the alternates.
Okay.
I'm a big Cody Whitehair guy. I'm really glad they didn't move him to guard. I was concerned, and I know there was some chatter about that when they drafted Daniels, who actually plays center.
Right.
But look at what he's done at guard when given the opportunity to play. So if I were going to pick someone from the O-line, I would probably pick Cody Whitehair.
Okay.
But I have to be honest, I haven't watched enough center play throughout the NFL to really have
Correct.
An opinion on it. You
Correct.
Know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's a tough position to understand and scout. And luckily, we got a couple guys that on the score that know how to do it. Olin Krutz definitely knows how to talk
Absolutely.
About center play. Him and James Big Cat Williams really do a great job of talking about it on the post-game show for sure. Let's talk about, before we talk about the Niners, because I do want to talk about them dealing with Kittles, but let's talk about the idea of the playoffs. Have you started thinking about what matchup is the best? And what do you think about the idea of the bye still being in play for the Bears these last 2 weeks?
The good thing about the bye being available to the Bears is you know, it's that's the motivation. You know, you shouldn't see drop off, you know, and you shouldn't see drop off anyway. But a lot of times, you know, when you have everything secured, you know, the questions start to arise, the worries start to arise. Oh, well, now that they have everything in play, you know, what else, you know, do we rest guys? You know, all these different questions. Do you rest guys? Do you play them? Do you do this? Do you do that? And so, you know, if the Bears went out, they have an opportunity. You know, they have an opportunity to miss the wild card. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing.
What's that week like between the end of the season and your first playoff game, especially if you get the bye?
But usually you're ear to ear smiling every day. it's just a great feeling when you secure it, because it's hard to get to, man. It's really difficult to make it to the playoffs, and extremely even harder to get to the Super Bowl. So, you know, when you know you've secured it and you're getting ready for the playoffs, like it didn't matter to me. If my agent said, you know, don't go out, don't get hurt, you know, or our coach said, you know, go out there, play hard, don't get hurt. If you're a football player and you love the game, there's only one way you know how to play it. So when you get out there and you're playing, that's just what's natural for you anyway. Now, once the clock goes and the game's over and you look around and you're like, okay, we're still healthy, that's what you're looking for. You want to know that we're going to go into this playoff. We're going to go into the playoffs against whomever we play at full power.
I'm going to read off some teams here in the NFC.
Okay.
And you tell me what you think about them
Close your eyes.
About whether you think they have any shot. Let's just, for right now, go with where the Bears are at the 3 seed, and teams that they could possibly play as the 6 seed. All right?
And you, what do you want from me? What do you want?
I want you to tell me what you think of that team.
Okay.
All right? Washington.
Washington. They're not as good as they were when Alex Smith was at the helm. You know, Josh Johnson, he does some things with his feet. Just not a team that...
No real threat there.
Right. Not a big enough threat to dethrone the Bears.
Okay, this team is still hanging on, but I feel like they're done.
Carolina.
I think they have a 0.9% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah. They just got into that decline, and it's hard to get out of that mode.
6-2, right?
They were
6-2.
They were humming. They're obviously lacking in the receiver category. They need to get some people there. They need to get some more protection. And until they get that, and you know, who knows if Ron Rivera is going to be there next year too? You know, he's a hot seat guy, and they're talking a lot about him. If they do fire him, he won't be gone long. He'll get a job real quick. But again, they're not a team that I feel is a big enough threat to dethrone the Bears.
Philadelphia.
Not a team that's good enough right now to dethrone the Bears.
Even with your guy Nick Foles back at the helm.
Love Nick Foles. I think right now, the way that Wentz has been playing, he makes them a better team, but not good enough.
Okay. The Vikings.
So the problem with the Vikings is that when you go player for player, they match up very well with the Bears. They just don't play. They're not playing up to their expectation. And call it Cousins or whatever you want to call it. It just, you know, it's a team sport, so everybody's included. But they're a dangerous team, because if they do get their crap together and play their best game against the Bears and the Bears' best game, they do pose a challenge.
Seattle,
defensively, right now, I'm not going to call it the Legion of Boom, but they have found something, and they are motivated. They're playing some very good defense right now, and Russell Wilson is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league, and he's showing it. You know, he's offensively, I think he's willed them to some games, to some wins, some W's. And so in the playoffs, where they weren't a threat, I thought, earlier on in the year, they have climbed themselves into a position where now, yeah, I think they can be a threat.
Seahawks have 7 wins in the NFC this year, 7-4 in conference.
Yeah. Yeah. They're finding a way. You know, and you think there would be more of a drop off with all the guys that they've lost, all the great players that have kind of left and dropped off of that team. they're got guys that are plugging in and saying, you know what, I can step up and carry the mantle.
All right, this is this is weird because I said where the Bears are now, but I'm going to give you one more team.
Okay.
If Philadelphia wins their last two games and Dallas loses their last two games, that could be flipped around.
Okay.
And you could have the Cowboys as a potential wild card matchup for the Bears. Thoughts on them?
If the Cowboys play a great game, yes, they can pose a threat. I just don't. Offensively, there's holes there, and you know, there's just not enough trust in Prescott right now. That I think the Bears will just encompass him and win that game.
All right, scenario number two.
Okay.
The Bears are the 2 seed, and they get a week off. So what's that like? Like, what's the week if you Gesundheit?
Wow, almost.
You held that sneeze in.
Oh, it's still tickling right now. It's tickling, but go ahead.
What's the week like when you have a bye and you're in the playoffs?
It's a fun week. You know, you get rested. A lot of guys that had nicks and bruises get rested, and you get to watch games and see situations and see who you expect to win games, who you expect to go in. You know, hey, I think that. You know, I think Seattle's going to win this game. I think we're going to be playing Seattle in divisional. And whether it's whether you're right or whether it's an upset or not, it's just a week where the pressure's off you for a week, you know, and you get to sit back and relax just like the rest of the fans, you know, and watch football, you know.
Is that what you did? Do you remember, like, watching the playoffs?
Oh, I watch football. Oh, absolutely. I remember watching football. I remember watching Seattle and Marshawn Lynch run all through Alex Brown, and then you know I knew after that I was that we cannot let him do what he did to Alex and the Saints against us.
I felt really bad because that play like came back up a couple weeks.
Oh, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. It happened.
And I mean, you see Alex, and he's.
He said he got pushed down. He said he got pushed down.
Well, like he stops at one point, and he's like, "Oh no!" And then
I think that somehow Marshawn Lynch had an extra arm, and he pushed him down. You know, because nobody can stop him that play. Beast mode.
It registered on the Richter scale.
Yeah,
that sound registered on the Richter scale.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
People jumping up and down in Seattle, and that is pretty incredible. So what would be your advice if Matt Nagy brought you in this week?
I'm about to say to suit up. I'm like, nah, I wouldn't bring me in, buddy.
No. No, I think you've made it pretty clear that you're like, I'm good with retirement.
Yes.
I'm real good with it right now. But if he brought you in to talk to the team, what would be your points of emphasis to them about where they're at right now?
I just be in the moment, you know, and I don't think the moment has ever been too big for you guys this year, you know, so I don't want to tell you don't let the moment be too big because I don't think you've allowed it to be too big for you. You guys have decided who you're going to be and how you're going to do it. So you don't need a pep talk from me to tell you to keep doing what you're already doing. You know, you guys get your club dub and get your 9-8-8 star rating touchdown dances, you know, and you guys have fun, man, and be who you want to be. Be who you've decided to be. And that's all I was saying. You ride that thing all the way through the Super Bowl.
You guys had a fun locker room.
Yeah.
For post game, obviously there's nothing like this.
Yeah.
You guys were doing a lot of your fun stuff throughout the week. There's dodgeball games, you guys are boxing guys.
Yeah.
Like all sorts of stuff. What do you think of how they seem to be genuinely having a lot of fun and the coach encourages that?
It's good because you create your own identity, you know, and that's what separates them from, you know, years past and it's going to separate them from years in the future, but that's, you know, this is who they've decided they want to be, you know, and their coach is, and the best thing that the coach can do is allow them to be them you know, because it motivates them. It motivates them also to go out and be sharp on the field. You don't get to do one without the other, you know, and if the Bears weren't performing on the field, you know, nobody wants to see Club Dub. Nobody wants to see, you know, these dances and stuff like that. But that's also part of the reward of being sharp on the field. You know, our coaches say, okay, when we play the best, you know, this is what we're doing. This is who you are. So, you know, I think, you know, take it to the max, man. Take it to the max. Drive that thing right through the playoffs and into the Super Bowl.
What's the most fun that you've had in a football season? Like, is there anything that's comparable?
Winning.
No, but I mean, like, as far as, like, the extra stuff. Was there anything that you can remember that you hold on to as a great memory of being around the guys and being around a fun team?
Yeah, we had a lot of rituals, you know, between me and Lack, you know, going out to the field. We had a lot of rituals, things that we always did, and I remember we had been doing it for so long, and Lovey was in front of us, and without him knowing he was going to bring it up, he said, you know, he's like, you know, when I know we're ready for a game, he was like, he said, you know, Briggs, he says this something. He said, he's trying to call Susie or something, someone, right? And he said, you know, he said, and then you get into the chant, and at the end of it, you say, we're going to have us some fun. We're going to have us some fun. He's like, and that's what I know. Because, you know, it got to the point where, you know, Lack would always, he would start it off and he would say something to me and then I would go through the chant. And it got to the point.
You guys are in uniform.
We're in uniform. We're okay. We're leaving the locker room, walking out to get announced. And that's when the chant began. And it got to the point where, you know, like Alex Brown was, he was like, okay, I want to be around you guys when it happens. And even Lovey got to the point where, you know, he wanted to be somewhere near, you know, when the chant was going on. And it was fun. It was always something that guys, you know, kind of got excited about, you know. And even something like we had a long walk when we go to – in Minnesota, there's a long walk to the field where guys would say, you know, they would say, is you ready? You going to call Susie? We're like, not yet.
But you got to be on top of it.
You got to be on top, right. You know, so, that – I always remember that. You know, because me and Brian took a lot of pride in it. And, you know, our chance on the field and the deals that we did on the field. But that I always remember.
Who were the best guys in the circle? Like the pregame circle?
Anthony Adams.
Why?
Because he was the most animated. If you watch Spice Adams on IG or anything social media, you will know why.
It's the same dude.
Now, the best speech guy was Reuben Brown.
Why?
Because... because what he said, you know, it was all it was heartfelt to us. You know, there were no slip ups. He knew what needed to be said, and we always rallied around what he was talking about. You know, and he always talked about Space Mountain. He's like, we're gonna ride this thing to Space Mountain. You know, so
woo,
yeah, woo, right, exactly. And so, you know, he was the guy that we always looked for to bring the team up to hear the speech.
I always love watching the videos with Spice because. Like you wouldn't think that a guy who's built like that
would pull his jersey up and slap his tummy.
Well, there's that, but would move like that, and then you realize he's an NFL player.
Yeah. Extremely athletic.
Yes. Like he does stuff even now where people are like, how can he do that? Well, I mean, he made it to the NFL. He's a second round pick in the NFL.
Yeah, he's doing some things that I had to send him a text. I'm like, I don't know how you're doing that, buddy.
He's out there doing splits. I saw him on ice skates. I mean, it's been really, really impressive. I appreciate you sharing a little bit of that stuff because I know that stuff is, you know, you don't want to give away too much. But I used to always, like, I would pay attention to what happens before the game because we get there pretty early, too. I usually get there around 3 hours before a game would start.
Right.
Now, back in the old days, we used to be able to be on the field. And I always thought that was cool. And I like to give you guys distance because you were getting ready to play a football game. Yeah. You didn't need anyone bothering you.
Right.
Occasionally, a player would say something to me, and then I felt like, okay, we can have a conversation if you initiate it. But I always enjoyed, like, I always felt you guys were ready when I would see you and Charles run around the field.
Yeah, early on. And we all, that was our ritual. I do miss that. And I forgot to mention that. I do miss that.
What was going on? Are you guys even talking to each other, or is it just...
Yeah, we're talking to each other. I mean, not a lot, but we'll. Yeah, I'm mentioning stuff. I'll say, you know, Pino will be like, you know, don't say no, don't tell anybody, but my knee's really hurting today, you know. Or I'll say, yeah, something's wrong with my back, you know. Or I feel great. Do you feel great? I feel great right now, and we're running extra, you know, a little faster than we normally do. Or we'll talk about what we expect. You know, we'll look at there's a piece of chunk of grass and part of the stadium. Or we're like, ooh, I don't want to get caught in this area over here. You know, I'll slip here, you know.
So you guys are doing, like, some inspection on top of just getting warmed up.
Yeah, we're talking about random stuff. You know, it might be, you know, the National Service Day, you know, and Peanut's telling me a story about, you know, his dad or somebody that was some serviceman that, you know, it was random thoughts, a lot of random thoughts.
Nothing wrong with the random thoughts. Those can be good.
Yeah.
We're going to take a timeout. We got one more segment with Mr. Briggs. We appreciate everyone here who's in attendance, this has been like the most attentive audience that we've had.
Very, very.
Like, they're like listening to it. Like, they're not just, we've had some places where we're just, we're like just on the side and everyone else is going crazy. But these Bears fans have been here really listening to the conversation.
That's awesome.
And that is very much appreciated. We are at 115 Bourbon Street. It's a Miller Lite Top Draft Show.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciate everyone who's come out. Shout out to my man Phil Donlin. He's in the house, too. That's a nice surprise that he's here. We'll finish up talking about the Bears versus the Niners with Lance next here on The Score.
Yeah, well, Lance, I loved watching you all those years. Thank you for all those Sundays and Monday nights. They were a blast. It was a heck of an era. I'm likely watching you on TV still. And let's go to the Super Bowl this year, man. Let's have some fun. And when I'm in Chicago, I'd love to come in studio and do that radio show with you, too.
That is the voice of Jake Johnson.
Oh.
Jake Johnson is the voice of Peter Parker.
Ah.
In the new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse
that movie. I can't wait to see.
So now you'll know, like, he did the movie Drinking Buddies. He was on New Girl on Fox, and he was always throwing bear stuff into it. And I recorded an interview with him yesterday that I'm going to play at 9 o'clock. And obviously, it's the number one movie in the country right now.
I have to wait until I get to Arizona. I got to take both of my boys to see it.
They're going to love it.
Yeah.
I saw it. I wanted to support Jake because he's always been good to the show, and you'll hear the interview. He, by the way, in the interview, we mostly talk about the Bears.
Is that, of course you do. Like, of course you do.
Like, we mostly talk about the Bears, but we do end up talking about the movie a little bit, and there's some bonus stuff that I'm going to end up throwing up on my podcast about the movie. But I will tell you, it was tremendous. Like, it's not just a good animated movie.
Yeah.
It's not just a good superhero movie. It's a good movie.
Ooh, that's awesome, man.
Even young Tony, who's, you know, he's a hard critic, he actually came back and enjoyed the movie. So I think that because of what you know from the comic book universe, you're really going to love it.
Right.
But even if you don't know anything about Spider-Man.
It's entertaining. Okay.
You will be entertained the way that they introduced Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Was beautiful. That's the best word I can describe.
Right.
The way the story went, it's not like this kind of happy movie either. I mean, there's some heavy hitters in this too.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali is one of the voices in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Lily Tomlin plays Aunt May.
Okay.
And she plays like a badass version of Aunt May.
Are we gonna get a live, like a real act of Miles Morales?
Well, they also take some shots at the previous Spider-Man movies.
Right, of course.
But I think that you're going to love this movie.
I believe it.
I would be shocked if you didn't love it. There's a nice tribute to Stan Lee.
Yeah.
In there.
R.I.P.
And, I mean, he voiced, so his voice is in there.
Yeah.
And you know how, you know, Stan Lee pops up in the...
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Same idea.
Animated, good. Like, good. It's the same sort of thing.
That's good.
But it's really well done. I was expecting it to be good.
Yeah.
But it's award-level good.
That places, you know, that moves Sony into a position of power in the MCU.
They did some cool stuff with this.
Yeah.
And the origin story that they had for Miles Morales is better than anyone could have expected.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
The way they held it down, some of the twists and turns that they put into it, on top of being heartfelt, it's a lot of fun.
Good.
Too.
Good.
So I've been telling people, I don't have kids, but if you have your kids, take them.
And I watched Todd McFarlane explain how he created Venom last couple of days.
Really?
It was actually pretty cool. It was literally by accident. You know, he was like, I was a lower level guy, and they had the black costume Spider-Man. They wanted me to write for him. He said, I only want to write for him if I get him in the original suit. So they're like, well, you have to write a way to get the black suit off. And that's how he was like, all right, I'll draw a sketch.
Oh man, you're gonna so love this movie.
Yeah.
It's not
even
funny.
Right?
Like you're gonna be all over it. And the interview with Jake is big time and it's fun. And he wanted to make. So I'll just tell you because it's on the
spoiler
podcast.
Alert?
No, I'm not gonna spoil the movie. I just wanted to share with you that while we were talking, this happens occasionally where I become the interviewee, mm-hmm. where people will flip it around on me,
right.
And that's what he did. So he was like, what's it like to sit there with Lance, Alex, and Matt?
Okay.
So I talked to him about what you guys are like to host with. But he was very intrigued because when he comes home and he watches the Bears, he watches the football after show, NBC
Sports awesome.
Chicago. So he was saying to me, like, I really dig the show, and that must be an incredible thing. And I was like, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's fun.
It's pretty awesome to watch the show with watch the game with those guys and pick their brains and be able, like, I'm trying not to talk as much in the
game. I noticed that.
Like, I'm just trying to listen. Like, I'm trying to learn stuff. So, like, I'm adding little notes here and there. Like, I want to see what you guys react to. I'm trying to pay attention to that so that I can bring it back for when we're doing the show.
Right.
Because I want to go, okay, well, Lance, you didn't like this particular play. Why? And then your recall is so good, you'd be like, well, I didn't like it because
this, such and such. Yeah, I got you.
So hey. I'm in the cut. That's
you're
all
a master.
I'm doing. I'm not a master.
You're a master of the aughts.
I'm just laying back in the cut. Right, so, Boogie, I appreciate you being here, sir.
As always.
Thank you very much for coming out here. Thanks to all the Bears fans who came out to see Lance.
Absolutely.
As
thank
well.
You, guys, man.
Thanks
That's
to
great.
115 Bourbon
Love it
Street.
Out here.
And Miller Lite for bringing Lance out here. And I will see you Sunday in your ugly sweater.
I will have an ugly, hopefully uglier than yours, maybe?
Mine's technically an ugly sweater, but it's kind of dope.
Ooh, I want an ugly sweater that's really ugly. That would, yes.
Okay, so
look like I got hit with the ugly stick.
Here's the question.
Okay.
Is Alex going to wear that suit again? You remember the suit? The where he looked like a car salesman?
Yeah.
With the blue, red, and
red,
white
all
thing?
That, yeah. The ticky-tacky. Uh-huh.
Does he wear that again, or does he have something else
the movie
for
True
us?
Lies.
Oh, my God. That's exactly right.
You remember?
Does he come with something even uglier than that?
He's going to try to make a statement. That I know he'll do. He likes to make a statement if he has the opportunity to do so. So I don't think he's going to wear that. I hope he doesn't wear that suit again, because if he does, he's going to get talked about for a long time.
He got talked about quite a bit on social media when he did it, because that suit is choice.
Right,
And he had the smile, too. Like, the smile said, I'm going to sell you a bad car. That's what it said. Forte's the wild card in this. I'm not sure what Matt's going to do.
Forte's going to get a tailored,
a
styled, ugly sweater. You know, that is ugly, but not really ugly at all.
Right. Like, he's going to be able to walk outside in whatever it is that he wears with no problem.
His sweater is going to be as sharp as his edge up.
I found out that he gets it edged up every Sunday morning. Like, before he gets to us, he gets the edge up.
I'll tell you, I'm lucky sometimes if I can catch my barber, man. My barbers, man. You know, and I love Vaughn because Vaughn is here, but if I'm in Arizona, man, it's sometimes they're like, look, we got a full house today, Lance, and you might not get in.
That's messed up.
It's messed up. I know. It's rough, man.
You should be like, I'm Lance Briggs, though. Can I get lined up, please?
Oh, you know, Coach Wilkes, the head coach of Arizona, we have the same barber. So I get bumped. You know,
for him,
I get bumped for Arizona players and coaches because all I'm right, a Chicago
I mean,
guy.
That makes sense.
So, I mean, but I've learned how to edge myself, though. I'm good.
All right. Okay, good. So we will see Lance on NBC Sports Chicago on
Indeed.
Sunday morning.
Yes.
And oh, wait. We're
Thursday.
Back together on Thursday. I forgot all about
it's
this.
It's all right. I didn't want to mention it. It's fine.
Algonquin.
Yes.
Yes, we're going to hang out.
Over closer by me.
Yes, this one is one of those ones where I have to leave at 2:30. Yes. So I'm taking the home game today, and I'm going on the road on Thursday. But it'll be fun. I'll figure out more stuff for us to talk about.
Yes, indeed. We're ready. We'll be ready. I'll be ready.
That is Lance Briggs. I am Lawrence Holmes. I'm going to take a quick timeout. We're going to let Lance get out of here. When we come back, there's an interesting story in the Sun-Times about the Cubs and them – at least at the ownership level, mentioning the idea of leaving Chicago a few years ago, if they didn't get what they wanted. I'll explain and I'll share with you next here on The Score. Glad that you are hanging out with me. At 9 o'clock, we have an interview with Jake Johnson. He of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. If you haven't seen the movie, you should go see it. And I would imagine that the interview with Jake will convince you to see it. If you have seen the movie, you'll definitely want to listen to the interview because he's got some nuggets about how that movie came about and what he thinks about the movie itself. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves are hot right now. Led by the AHL's top scorer, Brandon Peary, the Wolves have won 5 straight games. Join the Wolves this Friday at Allstate Arena for the inaugural Craft Beer Arena Crawl as they host Rockford in an Illinois Lottery Cup game. We have been talking Bears since 6 o'clock, and don't worry, even in the interview with Jake, there is a lot of Bears conversation. In fact, it's most of the conversation, which is great because Jake is a legitimate – he's not one of these dudes who went to Hollywood and doesn't care about the teams that he grew up loving. He is more into it than – any celeb fan I know. So I'm looking forward to you hearing the interview. If you don't know about Jake, you're going to love him. And if you do, then you know why you should be listening at 9 o'clock. Anyway, this story crossed like right before I got on the air, and I wanted to share it with you. There's actually 2 Cubs stories that I think are interesting that I wanted to share with you. But this one broke like right before I took the air, and I knew that we were going to do Bears, so I was trying to figure out exactly how I was going to get a chance to discuss it. The headline reads from the Chicago Sun-Times, Ricketts family so angry with Emmanuel over Wrigley, they considered moving the team. Fran Spielman wrote the piece. She writes, at least one member of the billionaire family that owns the Cubs was so incensed by the marathon negotiations with Mayor Rahm Emanuel that preceded the renovation of Wrigley Field, he literally suggested moving the team out of Chicago. That's the bottom line from private emails published by Splinter and then discussed in more detail in a Deadspin article on Tuesday. The Deadspin story claims Todd Ricketts, a leading Republican fundraiser, once slated for a top spot in President Donald Trump's Department of Commerce, was furious with Emanuel in 2013. That's when the mayor rejected the Cubs' request for a taxpayer subsidy to renovate Wrigley, forcing them to go it alone. According to Splinter and Deadspin, Todd Ricketts forwarded a story about Emmanuel's refusal to his father, Joe, with a blistering comment attached. Quote, I think we should contemplate moving or at least recognize that we are maybe not the right organization to own the Cubs. Close quote, Todd Ricketts wrote. That was followed by yet another Todd Ricketts email trashing Emmanuel without mentioning the mayor by name. Quote, I just hate the thought of Tom having to grovel to this guy to put money into a building we already own, close quote, Todd Ricketts reportedly wrote. Family patriarch Joe Ricketts replied, quote, yes, Todd, it makes me sad. It hurts my feelings to see Tom treated this way. He is way superior to the mayor in every way. I have been brought up to deplore the type of value system adopted by the mayor of Chicago. This is stating it mildly, close quote. Ricketts family spokesperson Dennis Culleton acknowledged the veracity of what he called the private stolen emails. Reading those, he says, quote, reading those private stolen emails is a reminder that there was an arduous process at the time as the debate went on, how best to save Wrigley Field, But in the end, the Ricketts family and Mayor Emanuel came together, and 1,000 union men and women of the construction trades have been hard at work preserving Wrigley Field for future generations. And the family has invested $1 billion in the neighborhood and $400 million into those union wages. Close quote. Can I just say, that's a solid spokesperson quote right there. You hit all the high notes there. Everyone came together. Union jobs. Union jobs. This is a union town. Union jobs. That's a pretty well done by Mr. Culleton. Back to the piece. Just how seriously did the Ricketts family consider leaving Chicago? Quote, it was definitely considered. There was a discussion about that at the time. Tom made mention of it at a city club speech, close quote. I actually remember that. I remember people texting me who were at that event. The night that it happened, the text lines, a couple people were like, yo, I was just at this thing, and the Cubs are talking about moving. And I remember going, they're not moving, because they're not. But I can understand how if you're at that thing, you felt like the Cubs might end up moving. Anyway, back to Fran's piece. She continues to write, Emanuel's communications director, Shannon Braymeyer, said Tuesday that the now outgoing mayor told Ricketts in 2013, quote, the same thing he told the owners of the Hawks and the Bulls. You own it, you pay for it, close quote. She added, negotiations can sometimes be heated, but the end result here was good for both the city and the Cubs. Alderman Tom Tunney, 44th Ward Alderman, whose ward includes Wrigley, could not be reached. Wrigleyville residents have accused Emanuel of going too far by giving the Cubs the go-ahead to put up video boards, 4 other outfield signs, extend the Wrigley footprint onto the public streets and sidewalks without compensating Chicago taxpayers, and play more night games. So you get the grasp of what's going on here. Ordinarily, I usually find myself on the side of the little guy. I don't ordinarily like to, when it comes to big business, side with them. And you know me, I always talk about why do fans side with owners over players, and that it's weird to me that fans see themselves as the owner more than the player, because we're more likely the player in almost every scenario, except for a few, right? A few of us. But I will say that I'm glad that whatever went down between these two sides in negotiations, and negotiations can definitely be hot and heated, that they did come to a consensus about what it is that was important, and they got it done. As for what I would call the improvements to Wrigley Field, I went to a bunch of games this year. I did Cubs pre and post, I think, 9 times this year, something like that. And I'm so happy with what they did to the ballpark. It looks better. It feels better. I think it's louder now because of the scoreboards. I think that they somehow were able to keep the quaintness and the history of Wrigley Field, but brought it into the present. And that's all you want when you're talking about Wrigley renovations. And I think they've done an excellent job with it, better than I could have ever imagined. When they embarked on all the things they're going to do to Wrigley Field, I thought it was going to be a disaster and the place would look mangled at the end of it. And at the beginning, like once it was playable again, remember the first weekend of the 2015 season where the toilets didn't work and you had all sorts of, like, they had to bring out the porta potties and all that stuff. Miski, you know what I'm talking about? You remember that?
That was my first day doing Cubs radio.
No.
And I'm walking down the ramps. I'm like, people have left a lot of beers. Oh, no.
That's not beer.
Yeah. And you realize, you know, up in the booth, it was fine. But you got, as you came down, you know, the bleachers weren't done. So half the bleachers were out. And then bathroom issues. And it was a mess at first. But they really turned it around. And it's nice. I'm there every home game. And it's, every day that I go in, there's something different, something better.
Yeah, I remember being on air and people some people being furious about, oh, well, I can't believe they're going to do this, and Wrigley should be a historic landmark, and they shouldn't touch it. The only quip that I have with it is the seats are still too small, but I think that just means I need to get on the elliptical. And they were, you know, it's.
I think about, like, Lambeau. You sit in the seats, it's 1955, but you go up on the concourse, and it's 2018.
Correct.
And I think they've done it better than anybody, really.
I agree. And I've talked with some people that were involved in the planning of it, and some of the stuff that you don't even take into account, because it is still a historic landmark, all the beams that they had to build around, where you couldn't destroy certain parts of it because you can't do that, and they've figured out a way to make it all work. Obviously, when you're talking about Chicago and funding and unions, politics is going to play a role. And we know that the Ricketts family has a completely different political ideology than Rahm Emanuel does and Alderman Tunney does. But I'm glad that in the end, what ended up happening for you, the Cubs fan, or you, the Chicagoan, is a better experience. The place, the neighborhood looks great. What they've added over there is wonderful. The little park where you can play catch, the big screens, it's a different vibe. I was joking with some friends of mine that if I took someone who had been in space for 4 years and was like, hey, you want to go to Wrigley Field? And I dropped them off on the corner of Waveland and Clark, they would be like, what is this? Like, what happened here? Where's the old McDonald's? Where's Taco Bell? No, what is this place? How is there a hotel here now? And I know that when we get to the topic of tax dollars, that is a very sensitive issue. And trust me, as someone who lives in the city, I am very sensitive to that, about what you want your tax dollars to do. And I feel like just about everybody in this scenario did what they were supposed to do. The thing is, you own it, you pay for it. I'm down with that. I'm down with being protected from giving billionaires more money involuntarily. If I want to give the Cubs my money by going to games, that's me volunteering my money. But the idea of giving tax breaks to them involuntarily doesn't always sit well with me. But I also understand the business aspect of it, of, hey, if they're going to give it to us, then why not take it? If we're going to get some corporate welfare, then why not do that? But what ended up happening is that there was an agreement. Both sides came to a conclusion that it'd be better to not do the thing where the Cubs end up moving. Could you imagine a dystopian future where the Cubs aren't in Chicago? Like, how weird that would feel. Like, even as a White Sox fan, I'm like, no, that doesn't seem right. And well, yes, Tony.
Well, I think that's what they're banking on. They're banking on you, on fans feeling that way, that it would be weird not having this organization in this city. And they're hoping that that feeling trumps any business kind of acumen that the people would have in terms of, we're not benefiting from this. Why would we want this?
But the thing is that the city is going to benefit from it. The neighborhood, Alderman Tunney, they have already benefited.
They're printing
from
money over there.
100%. Which brings us to the other story about the Cubs. So it kind of became official today. Bruce Levine had the story on 670thescore.com that the NBC Sports Chicago, which, full disclosure, I work for, is going to team up with the Blackhawks, the White Sox, and the Bulls, and they're going to keep going what it is they've got going. So those three teams, where it used to be, and I don't know if I'm 100% right about this, but I feel like I'm pretty close. There was an equal share between the four teams, and at one point the Bears had a partnership deal with Comcast/NBC Sports Chicago, and now that split is divided up between the three teams. So they will have a stake in NBC Sports Chicago. The Cubs are getting ready to do their own thing. I've seen, but I've seen that maybe they're teaming up Did Evan Allman have that where they're teaming up with Sinclair and they're going to call the new station Marquee? So I would imagine they're starting to build that out now. It'll make for an interesting TV landscape. I got a real education as I started talking to people about this, about the importance of having your games on cable versus broadcast television and the amount of money that the Cubs are going to end up making just from people getting the Cubs network on their bundle. They're going to make a ton of money. I'm curious how they'll program it, but that's something for later on. Yes, Tony?
Bruce Levine, our own Bruce Levine, said the Cubs are denying that they have a deal in place for a new regional network with Sinclair Broadcasting. Industry sources say Sinclair is certainly a front runner, but no deal has been.
So no deal yet, but okay, well, thanks. I appreciate you. I always appreciate when I can be corrected. That's good. We try to get people. Some people saying it's a bridge too far. You won't support it. That's what one's saying. I think you'll probably end up supporting it, even if you don't agree. And I do think that part of it does suck. But we'll see. We'll see what they end up doing. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk with one of the stars of the number one movie in America, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. His name is Jake Johnson. He's also a huge Bears fan. And that will come across in the interview. We will do that next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.